The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go, hour two, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. 1 hour down, four to go. C-Note's coming up in 20 minutes. We'll give you the top Cowboy stories of the day. It's time now for Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day, Bully.
All right, so here is your latest Cowboy news. As we've got some updates from practice, there was no Brandon Cook, CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Guyton, Zach Martin, or Nick Vigil, according to Calvin Watkins.
Got an extra day.
They do. So this, I guess this was like a walkthrough today, you know, that mock game.
You were excited when you heard mock game the first time, didn't you?
First time I was super pumped. I'm like, this is going to be great. We're basically going to get to watch a scrimmage, and then we showed up, and it's bucket hats and shorts. Bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But now we know for the future when you see mock game on the schedule, it's like, yeah, we're not going to get much out of this. Yeah. They have the Cowboys started the practice window for their cornerback, Ayo. Not even going to try and pronounce that last name.
Oruwariye.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Oruwariye.
And that's, you know, the timing couldn't be better considering you just lost Josh Butler. So hopefully he's able, because he was playing some pretty good football.
He was.
So hopefully he's able to get back. Now, they have not opened the 21-day practice window for Tank yet. So DeMarcus Lawrence unlikely to be playing Monday night. And if you don't know, once they open that 21-day window, because I had a couple people ask, like, what does that mean? The team has to activate that player and put them on the active roster within the 21 days.
Yes, sir.
If it goes over that, then they're done skiing for the season. So that, like Deron Bland. They ended up putting him on the roster. He wasn't ready to play, but they didn't have a choice.
You have
they
to make to a roster it. Move, too, when right. you do that, by
Absolutely.
The way. When you activate them.
Now, with Dak, part of the conversation yesterday we got into, but he also gave updates on the injury and the surgery that he had. He said he's still on crutches. He'll be on the crutches for a little bit longer, but he's starting to walk a little bit more with his weight. He's making progress every day. He's taking different steps, but he anticipates to be full go for minicamp next year. He also talked about running. He said, I think this rehab being such a hamstring, a runner's injury, the fact of me feeling 100% is going to take a lot of running and a lot of me getting confidence back and using my legs. So he said that he plans on probably running even more. Possibly, if not even using my legs a tad bit more and not particularly on quarterback running plays, but just within the passing game and to keep us ahead of the chains. So he's not using this as a detriment when it comes to possibly running again when he gets back out there. And I think that's good. I mean, I don't think that should change the focus from his standpoint. We were wondering, why don't you run a little bit more, steal a first down here or there? So I'm into the running here.
I think it's kind of weird that he's already saying he's going to be a runner. He hasn't even healed from this injury yet.
Yeah.
He's got to get the confidence back. You've got to feel it again. I mean, he already broke the ankle, and we see how that changed him a little bit. Yep. I know because I broke mine, and I see it does change you some. You got to build confidence. Now you have another compounded injury on top of this, and you already talk about running again? Sounds hopeful, fam. I feel you.
Yeah. Trying to speak it into existence, I guess.
He does.
But so far, it seems like the rehab and the timeline for this, everything's going as planned. But I don't really expect Dak to say anything other than that.
He's always going
to
work hard on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no yep. question.
He'll get back.
Commanders have hired a new CEO. It will be Mark Klaus. He's going to be their team's new president as well. So there's, I guess he's been the franchise's president from 2020 to 2023. Now he's going to get the CEO label there as the Commanders continue to make front office changes. And some sad news for Austin Eckler. You remember the last play of that Cowboys game a couple weeks ago, suffered the concussion.
Got whacked.
Says he's been experiencing memory loss following the concussions this year. So, I mean, he's talking.
That's a sign. Yeah, he's had a longer career now. Isn't this year 7 or 8?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that maybe he's starting to see his football mortality right before his eyes. I mean,
yeah, multiple concussions in short durations. That's the real threat, you know.
Who got him? Damone Clark?
Yeah.
Was that a collision they had at the kickoff return?
Kickoff. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Schlonged.
They did. I wonder. I wonder if
that's such a good draw.
Is that short-term memory loss, or is that like he's forgetting childhood things?
Who the hell? Maybe from like birth, being in the womb, all that stuff, just out the window.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's tough.
Some of the best memories.
Bizarre is what's going on with Deontay Johnson in Baltimore. So
we're all talking about trading for him, right?
Yeah. Well, the Ravens released a statement today that said, we have made the difficult decision to suspend Deontay Johnson for our upcoming game against the Giants for conduct detrimental to the team. Deontay's suspension stems from refusing to enter our game against the Eagles. We will have no further comment on this matter going forward. I believe he's just got like 5 targets and a catch since he's been traded to Baltimore. It has not really been the marriage that they were hoping for. Mm-hmm. Now he's suspended for the game. Now, do they need him to beat the Giants? Well, clearly not. He hasn't really been involved in the offense at all. But this is a player that certainly very, very talented, but didn't seem like Mike Tomlin had great things to say about him in the lead up to their game. He said, I got other people to worry about than Deontay Johnson. And then clearly in Carolina, it didn't really work. So I don't know. Maybe there's something here.
No, yes, there's absolutely something here. A team traded him that needs good players and, a winning team. We don't hear this anymore. You used to hear it all the time. Conduct detrimental, but teams cover most stuff up. This has got to be one of their last ditch efforts in a very short time period to get this guy in the program.
Shout out to the 682 on their way to the hospital to see the baby boy be born. So
who's that?
The 682.
Nice. So congratulations.
Good health. Absolutely. That's going to be very exciting.
Cigars for everybody.
Let's go to the St. Brown podcast. This is Amon-Ra and his brother Equanimeous, and they were taking a page out of the Brian Broaddus book here. All right. We've had these conversations. We were watching the
Commanders
game.
I knew I liked these St. Browns.
Hit him. When it came to Jaden Daniels, if he's going out of bounds, mm-hmm. we've talked about, hey, the quarterback's here.
Slow him down.
Kind of unfair.
Yeah, slow him down
a little bit. You're going to fake like I'm going out of bounds, and you're going to dart and cut back in. So here was Dan Campbell's message to the team when it came to Caleb Williams on Turkey Day.
The craziest part is before the game or in our team meeting, Dan was talking to us, and he was showing clips of Caleb like going out of bounds, going back in, going out. He said, no, you don't. The beginning of it was, no, you don't. And then it was just clips of him doing that. He goes, if he does this, we're going to hit his ass. And he's already warned the refs. The refs know. So when it happened in the game, like, I already know there's no flag.
Yeah, he was not out of bounds.
Out of bounds, came back in. Jack hit his ass. We're like, yeah. And everyone on the Bears like, what the fuck? That's a flag. We're like, bro, he went out, literally came back in and took it. Like, damn.
Yeah, no, he never stepped out of bounds. So, like,
no, you don't.
No, you don't. Hit his ass. Hit, and it just made me think of Brian during that entire game. Hit him! Hit him!
Yeah. I don't want him cutting up field on me like that. If you hit him, he won't do that.
Send a message.
He'll just go out of bounds.
Maybe you take a 15-yard penalty. You just set the tone immediately.
It's that extra 20 yards that these quarterbacks kind of manipulate on you because they take advantage of you being close to the sidelines and you don't want to light them up. And then they go up field for
especially when you're going
slide into your teammate.
You're going
suspended.
Going into a game and you can tell like this quarterback does this.
Yeah.
Like that's now and that was an awkward looking hit and it was mostly Caleb's fault with the way that he was doing it because it was a few yards from the out of bounds line.
Yeah.
So it was totally clean, but it was definitely an awkward hit. But I love Man Campbell just being Mr. Consistent. I saw this shirt and I sent it over to Carter. He will put it on the fan cam right now. Some Detroit Lions fan, this went viral. It's a T-shirt, and it's a Campbell's Chunky Soup, but it's in like the Honolulu blue, and it's
nice.
Dan Campbell. It's Campbell's kneecap soup, and Dan Campbell's on there with his headset on, but he's eating a football player's leg. on the cover of it. So it's Campbell's kneecap.
We got to make this.
It's a phenomenal
special.
Shirt.
Yeah. It's special what's going on.
Order me a case.
And shout out to Man Campbell. I mean, he told the officials about it before the game too. He's like, "Look, we're going to do this. Is this look out for it. This is how he plays. We've seen it on tape. No. We're not allowing him to do it." Now, the aftermath of the Jahmyr Gibbs photo, where it looked like there were some protections and plays that he posted. Matt LaFleur.
Oh, we can get these.
They're playing Green Bay tomorrow. Matt LaFleur said that they can't really gain a real competitive advantage off the Lions' leaked protections. Now, it's just gamesmanship. Maybe he's thinking to himself, ha-ha, we do have a leg up. Or he's just being honest and genuine and saying there's really no competitive advantage that can be gained.
I guess I would leave that up to Broadus. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I personally can't look at that and
remember when the Cowboys board got leaked? Remember the draft board?
Well, yeah. Was that when Jerry flashed it? It wasn't necessarily a leak. It was like, here it is.
I've got 13 names. He flashed them all.
He's so funny.
Look
dude.
At this.
We got players left.
It was like he wanted to prove where Tyler Smith was on the board.
I'm sure.
He was this high.
I'm sure if you were like a just football savant, Luke Kuechly, whatever, Sean Lee, Ray Lewis, Roquan Smith, just I'm sure that type of player, Fred Warner, might be able to get something from this. Like if the quarterback's going to the line of scrimmage and shouting out protections and stuff, you might be able to garner something from it. But otherwise, I don't know that anybody's really getting too much.
Patriots have unveiled plans for an all-new practice facility next to Gillette Stadium. This is going to open in 2026 for the spring. I don't know who their head coach will be at that time. It is Jerod Mayo as of now. Some think he might be one and done, but they've announced it. It looks like it's going to be absolutely beautiful, but here's New England now sprucing up their practice facility. Did you see the
soup? What'd you say?
That's great. Yeah, he's got the soup can up there.
Campbell's kneecap soup, dude. That is awesome.
It's fantastic.
We all want one of these shirts?
I'd take a shirt.
Yeah. I love a free shirt, man.
Let's do it. Joe Burrow has indeed, we were talking about this off air, bought the real-life Batmobile. They showed it last night. I didn't even realize last night was the opening Hard Knocks for the entire AFC North. They started the in-season one, so part of the episode was Joe Burrow talking to his teammates, "Have I told you I bought a Batmobile?"
And he did. We did a story a couple of weeks ago. They were putting like 40 on sale or something like that.
He bought one. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Trying to make up for that awful Joker movie that they dropped. Better recoup some paper real quick. Sell some of these Batmobiles we got. Gracious. How about that?
Ray Davis loves their style.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, go ahead. And Netflix is looking to poach one of ESPN's marquee talents for their NFL Christmas Day doubleheader. This would be Mina Kimes. So the NFL, and we'll see how this goes. Maybe it crashes like it did for the Jake Paul fight. But in addition, Mina has been contacted by Netflix. They're also targeting Kay Adams to host the studio pre- and post-game show there on Netflix.
Hmm. This is awesome. They're like 3 weeks out, and they're putting plans together.
I thought the same thing. Like,
are we not buttoned up?
Did we not have this figured out when you knew you were getting a Christmas Day game? Did we not have the plan of who our talent is going to be to run this thing?
Now you're Mina Kimes, you're Kay Adams, and you have to make decisions 3 weeks out from Christmas. What am I supposed to do here? I mean, the dollar amount goes up, right?
Well, they were apparently wanting Brady to be the color commentator, but Fox blocked the request as well. Hmm. So we don't even know who's going to be calling the game yet.
That's hilarious, dude.
I guess they're looking at Ian Eagle, Noah Eagle, Greg Olson, Nate Burleson, and J.J. Watt as of now. And then they're trying to figure out who's going to do the pre-halftime and post. But this is crazy.
Okay, back to Burrow for a second. He's not buying that just to, like, have it in his garage and show people, right? Like, he's going to end up taking that to places that, like, off-road or whatever that he can...
I would.
Or is it, like, such an expensive item that you don't want to mess with it?
I don't know how it performs. Like, I bet drag racing, you know, it seems like with that rocket booster, you'd have a good 0 to 60 time or, you know, good quarter mile split.
How heavy is that damn thing?
Oh, it's going to be heavy.
Probably 1.5.
That's like a big old truck out there.
Yeah, you got to drive it somewhere.
There's a guy that lives in Irvine and has one, the old school Batmobile, from like the first Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 1960s?
The Michael Keaton Batman? No, not that one. Oh. I've seen that one out here, though, too.
Yeah, I like
but,
that one.
No, there's a guy, and he like takes it to charity events.
Yeah,
they're driving around sometimes, then they'll park it at charity events and get paid for that.
Yeah, he should take that to the charity. Didn't Russ Martin have one?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah.
Joe's a pretty flashy guy, though. I think that point definitely plays. I could see him out in the town in it, for sure.
That'd be cool.
You know, Stogie, the whole deal.
With his blonde hair.
I could see him pulling up to a game in it, for sure.
Smoking on that Joe Burrow. Chiefs, by the way, are going to be getting Hollywood Brown back. possibly as early as week 16. So that's just perfect for them. Just go ahead and slide in their prize free agent acquisition to an offense that they could still use a deep threat, as the Xavier yes. Worthy, Pat Mahomes connection kind of just hasn't really worked out a ton this year. But Hollywood Brown would be a big get for their postseason three-peat chase here for the Chiefs. That'd be awesome for them.
I would say necessary at this point. I'm kind of shook in my conviction.
I know. I am too. I'm teetering.
Don't teeter. Like, we did this last
Mahomes
year.
Mahomes has to do a lot of heavy lifting. I'm hoping there's not as much slippage in the defense as it seems like there may have been. I mean, the Panthers are kind of putting up some points on them. Teams are...
The Panthers playing good football right now.
I know, but let's be honest.
Okay, you can bid now at 877-881-1053 to sit at our table at Jared Sandler Swinging for a Cause charity event, Globe Life Field, Sunday, December 8th. The table for you and five other friends, plus the Sean and RJ show. You will also receive two Ranger tickets to a 2025 game and an in-studio visit with the show. Okay, at 877-881-1053, you can call now or anytime in the rest of this week and bid on that auction item. Okay, we're coming back with the Cowboys news of the evening next on the...
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time now for the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Before we get there, Wolchuk found the specs on that Batmobile we were wondering about. See what the performance would look like. A segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Bully.
So Joe Pompliano, shout out to him. He's got the numbers on this. It is a fully functional Batmobile. 525 horsepower, weighs 5,500 pounds. Imitation gun turrets, smokescreen delivery system, $3 million, which we already knew about from the story that we talked a couple weeks ago. But Joe Burrow now going to be just one of 10 people in the world who owns one. And this thing looks freaking epic. It is the, of course, Batmobile from The Dark Knight.
Okay, so Lucius, you're probably the biggest car guy here. At 550 horsepower at 2.5 tons, is that thing hauling
ass? That'll sound like it's street legal. Is that street legal?
No, it's not.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it can move, man, if it's got the right jump to it. But
okay,
that don't sound like you can move around here. I can't pull up to the mall and stunt on y'all.
Damn it.
No, and I'm disappointed it's not street legal. What's it going to take? You know, let's put some blinkers on this, some headlights. What do we need? You know, appropriate amount of mirrors. That would be my thing if I'm Joe Burrow. You know, first of all, I think it's an irresponsible expense, $3 million for a toy. But hey, he's got like a $200 million contract. But man, that is, I would want to be able to cruise around in that, roll down the window at stoplights and stuff like that. That might be a no deal for me, or I would just risk the ticket. Take the ticket. Yeah, that part. Yeah,
you're Joe Burrow. You're
not gonna afford it. $3 million car.
Another ticket.
Yeah, you want it right here. What you need?
Put it with the rest of them in the glove
What's
box.
What's your Cash App, cop?
Okay, time for some Cowboys headlines here. You guys were talking about this a little bit in the opening segment. I wanted to circle back around to it. Mashota asks, is wide receiver a possible legitimate first-round pick? Is that a credible idea? He talks about the top guys, Travis Hunter and Missouri's Luther Burden III, who recently announced he's skipping the senior year. Mashota says it would be an interesting pick because wide receiver isn't their biggest need. That would be running back, followed by defensive tackle, and then offensive lineman or defensive end could also arguably be bigger needs. At 877-881-1053, you know, I think they have quite a few needs. I wouldn't rank running back higher. I think Dowdle's done a nice job. I'm okay if you go with a day three pick and Dowdle next year and see how that goes. I think wide receiver's huge. Brooks, Tolbert, Turpin, solid 4 or 5 guys. Cook's aging and has already taken a big step back from where he is at his peak. I think Cook's plays a whole year. He's a 600-yard receiver. So that's kind of where I'm looking. I would be ecstatic. And the higher you are picking, the more of a chance you have for an absolute game breaker who could give you like a two wide receiver combo like you're about to face with the Bengals. That's what I'm looking at. I'd be excited for that.
I'd definitely be much more excited about a wide receiver than a running back there, for sure. I understand those who would prefer to build inside out, and if you can have an offensive lineman or defensive lineman that you feel is like a beast right there. But also depends on, I mean, Broadus is talking about super deep at the defensive tackle spot, so every draft is its own sort of beast there. And I don't know, is this wide receiver class just as like historic as it feels like it's been over the last 5 years?
It's not as deep as it has been.
Okay, so if it's a little less deep there, I think...
Running back is really, really deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, compared to last year, it's much deeper.
I don't think you have Dowdle under contract next year.
Yeah, I think he's a one-year, he signed a one-year deal.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, might get too expensive.
So that's kind of where I, you know.
I'll look up his value. Is that what you're doing right now, Chief?
Yeah, well, I'm just seeing what he's been on.
I think he's been like a $1 to $2 million dude, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a $1 million base salary guy, but his contract is up.
Yeah. So you don't have a running back then on your roster. I don't think they can play.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, running back is a need, but at what price? What price is that need? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could make a case like a dude that's going to touch the ball 20 times for me. That might be more valuable than the receiver. I think the receiver is also a position. I mean, the same argument I think can be made for receiver that they make for running back, where you see guys that are even in the top of the NFL that have been taken day three, second, third round. But this year's draft, I mean, there are three wide receivers that I'd be pretty stoked about having in the first round. But I am all about, I feel like, the most bang for your buck probably is going to be at the line of scrimmage, whether it's offensive or defensive line. And Rico's a good player. You can upgrade there. Rico Dowdle doesn't have a breakaway speed. He's solid. He's not really doing anything to put fear in defenses, in my opinion. You're not having a game plan to stop a Rico Dowdle. I think you can upgrade at the running back position. I don't mind bringing him back so you've got somebody there at the position. But Rico's a solid player. I don't think he's one of these game-breaking type of dudes that maybe you'd have a chance to get in this draft class, even if you waited till day two.
I mean, 4.5 yards per attempt, that's just giving you a rushing success rate, consistent run threat. Over the cap, projecting $4 million based on his production this year, he's worth significantly more than what the Cowboys are paying him. I would have to pass there. You know, if he wants to come back at around $1 million, which is, you know, what he's been playing at on this three-year deal, then I'm with you guys there. But I just think, as you stated, running back depth plays in the second and third, maybe even the fourth round, where you could get a definitive upgrade and use that that first rounder on a wide receiver. And at O-line, with Hoffman playing well against a bad defense, you know, do you look at that like we might have something here? Or do you look at it like, dude, Dak's aging and we need to make sure this offensive line is good enough to protect and establish a great running game? How do you approach that? How do you approach what you have right now as a collection of dudes around Tyler Smith that you're hoping are better?
I think you got a guy that can play there. Hoffman, I think, can be a starter. I think TJ Bass could possibly be a starter for you. I liked what we saw from Awesome Richards. It's unfortunate he got hurt. But I think they're probably – and Nate Thomas is a guy. We'll see if the coaching staff changes.
Sure.
But the staff liked him. I know Mike Solari was a big fan of his, who they drafted late. So they've, for the first time in recent memory, they've got some depth there. But I still think if you're sitting there and the highest rated player is one of these offensive tackles, whether it's Banks or Will Campbell or name the guy, I'm not going to ever have an issue with addressing offensive line. But you do feel better about your depth than you ever have. I think defensive line, whether it's a tackle, an edge, that's a screaming need. What's up with DeMarcus Lawrence? Is he back for you? You're right now you're starting Carl Lawson opposite Micah Parsons. He's not back next year. Osa Digizu is a free agent. You've got massive holes on the future of that defensive line. I think if I had to bet, where is that first-round pick going to go? It's a defensive lineman.
Tackle or end?
I'd probably a tackle right now, because I don't think you're going to be high enough to get Abdul Carter, and that'd be the dude that I would absolutely love for
Penn
State.
He's more of an edge.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a look at the draft, and we're getting more into that a little bit earlier based on the Cowboys' record, and it's a lot of fun, you know, picking at 13 currently, Brian.
I think the best offense in the tackle in the draft has a bad knee.
Which one?
Josh Simmons from Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. He just declared yesterday.
They won't be looking to go tackle.
I mean, not, to me, the questions are, do you feel like that Will Campbell from LSU is a guard? Do you feel like Banks from Texas is a guard? There's people projecting them both to play guard than to play. I think Campbell at LSU can play tackle. I don't know about Banks at Texas playing tackle. I think he could play guard, depending on how you want to go. But best offensive tackle I've seen is Josh Simmons from Ohio State.
All righty.
And he's got a knee injury.
Up next in the C-Note, disturbing headline out of Idaho. Darwin Van Der Esch, daddy of Leighton Van Der Esch, arrested outside of Riggins, Idaho this week on domestic battery charges. The 61-year-old taken into custody, felony attempted strangulation, cited for misdemeanor domestic battery, misdemeanor intentional destruction of a telecommunication device. Looks like we had a phone breaking.
Mm-hmm.
A native of Riggins, Leighton. It's a good time for a pop-up. Leighton was a first-round pick of the Cowboys in 2018, standout career at Boise State. Neck injury slowed him down. So that's a tough one there for the Van Der Esch family to have to go through. Might have an unhappy holidays. They're around. That's tough. Skip Bayless says he...
Hey, watch your mouth, woman!
I didn't know Skip Bayless was married. I'd read a story a number of years ago, but his wife, Ernestine, has been grilling him over his unwavering Dallas Cowboys loyalty. That might be the biggest crock I've ever heard.
Sure.
Skip Bayless was a Cowboys antagonist when he was here. I mean, he spent the majority of his TV career antagonizing the Cowboys, and then suddenly ESPN or somebody, Fox, pivoted to the idea that he was going to become a Cowboys super fan and lead the charge there. It's just nauseating to look at. Okay, Cowboys storylines going into this Bengals game. Krusty's Corner's coming up in about 6-7 minutes. He'll have the film details on the Bengals offense for us. Will the Cowboys get Diggs and Martin back? And if so, how much does that help? I think it's potentially massive for the defense. If you could have Diggs, Bland, and Jordan Lewis out there, that's one of the best collections of corners in the entire league, and you need takeaways. All three of those guys are ball gods.
Yeah, it's huge, man. I mean, and we haven't gotten to see it.
No,
it's we haven't. Like
what the hell?
There's something happening that just will not allow for Bland and Diggs to be on the field together for really any amount of time. It will be exciting, and especially in a matchup like this,
yeah.
If you're really trying to win this one with the passing attack of the Bengals. You're going to need all hands on deck.
Hands on deck for this one if you're going to do that. There's a path for this one, though. There is a path as you look at this Bengals offense. Nice. So we'll get into that at 3:40.
Has a team ever come back from 3-7 to make the playoffs?
What did the Rams do last year?
They didn't make the playoffs, but...
Yeah, they did. They lost to the Lions in the wild card round.
Wow.
That Goff staff, that was like the
I think
first
they got beat by the Cowboys. They lost the game. They lost the game against the Cowboys and then reeled off. I think they won all
they
their
games. They did go on a hot streak. They got Kyron Williams back. Remember we were talking like Stafford MVP second half of the season. But
no, they went on a run. I can't believe they started off.
Yeah, they ended up Clint,
I think they had four wins. Four wins at the time and then reeled off. I think I got that right.
If Diggs comes back and plays his best football, and if healthy Zach Martin can combo up with Terrence Steele like they got better at last year, who knows?
The question is, will they just continue to play Hoffman? You know, or are they holding
that on the table?
Yeah, they holding Martin out just to make sure that he's like fully healthy. But you know how you'd like you.
We need at least one game to see. Is healthy Zach Martin better than Brock Hoffman? I sure hope so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I asked you guys this question the other day. It's 72% Zach Martin better than 100% Brock Hoffman.
I mean, the way Hoffman's been playing right now, I would just, Zach, until you're 100, like 90% plus.
Yeah.
Don't push it, man.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. It's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I got some thoughts about this Cincinnati offense. I think there's some things you could do to it. We'll talk about that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Players you would trade lively for coming up at 4:00. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's, Brian.
Is that straight up or in a package?
Both. You know, you're going to have to add some players probably to his salary because he's on a rookie contract.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know Wolchuk's totally against that.
Yeah, it's a small list. I
wouldn't do it for Giannis yesterday. Wonder if there's anybody he would. We'll find out.
Big lively stand over here.
Really good player.
Yeah.
All right. Bengals. This is going to be all about their offense here. Because I feel like there is a way to slow these guys down offensively. I know that there's some teams out there that have had some trouble with them lately because of the way their quarterback plays. Joe Burrow is outstanding. There's no question about that. And he's outstanding because of the wide receiver groups they have. But this offensive line could be something that could be their downfall against this Cowboy front. And I say it in this way because I don't believe the Bengals are going to try and run the football on you. This is the first time in a long time that you're going to play a team that cares less about the run than you do.
Hmm. It's encouraging.
Yeah. There's nobody in the league.
And they play bad defense?
And they play really bad defense.
Wow.
There's, when you look.
No wonder they lose.
Yeah. There's nobody throws the ball. Excuse me. I take that back. Your Dallas Cowboys throw the ball, throw more passes out of shotgun formation than the Cincinnati Bengals do. That's the only team. This team, when they do get in like 11 and 12 personnel, they're one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to running the football.
So when they want to go heavy, pound the rock a little bit,
they can't do it.
Offensive line just sucks or what?
This is going to be the problem for them. Because what's going to happen is Dallas has played these teams, as we've talked about every week, that have the threat and the ability to run and be successful at it and punish Dallas for it. This guy's not a running quarterback.
Yeah.
You know? They really don't. You know, they've tried to do some things. You know, Chase Brown has been the primary back. They traded for Khalil Herbert. Uh-huh. He really hasn't gotten going. Zach Moss is on the injured reserve. This team really doesn't want to run the football, you know. And you start to look at all the numbers and how it plays out. They're very similar to how Dallas is running the football. Everything is inside, nothing to the edge.
Do you think they could look at the Cowboys' defense and say, this is a game we can run against and we should? Or could they not execute it?
I don't think they could execute it.
Nice.
I don't think they can. I think this plays right into Dallas' hands defensively. Yeah, I think Dallas was built to rush the passer. And when I say rush the passer, they're starting to get guys back. I wish that Tank was back in this lineup this week. But, you know, we'll see with Nealon and maybe some others. You're going to move Mike around. But this Bengals offensive line has problems when it comes to pressures. And it has a problem when it comes to teams that blitz them.
Nice.
They do not do a very good job. I went back. I watched all 30 of their sacks that they've given up. Sack after sack after sack. You know me.
Yep.
Looking
sack
at the
watcher. Love
sack
the watcher.
Sack compilations, man.
Yeah.
That's why they kicked you out of the locker room.
Bassick was talking about the Rangers and all that. Like, you know, but you heard that earlier when he was talking about seeing all the players.
Categories.
Yeah. That's why you don't go. But anyway, this to me, they're outstanding at receiver. Don't get me wrong. And the quarterback, as I said, outstanding. But they have problems on the right side of their offensive line. They got a rookie right tackle.
Mims?
Mims.
How's he hanging?
Not well.
Why does that up?
Alex Kappa, the right guard, sacks and pressures. What happens to these guys is you force them to have to play you one-on-one, and they have problems. And I could see Zimmer covering guys up and attacking certain areas. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he put Micah Parsons, like we were talking about in that three technique, over Alex Kappa and see what happens with him. Because he can't, I don't think he could block. I don't think he could block Micah Parsons one-on-one in this game.
Well, he definitely couldn't in Tampa Bay.
No.
I mean, that was a matchup nightmare for him.
Their best offensive lineman is Ted Karras, the center. But other than that, they're a line that doesn't, we've talked about this before, a line that doesn't particularly move very well with their adjustments. So the more that you could put them on the move, the more that you put them in, I think, in peril. The last time that these two teams met, this is when Diggs, we talked about Diggs, had one of his better games.
The big tackle to seal the victory.
Yeah. Third down tackle and a fourth down tackle. Chase was targeted twice in this game, had one catch.
Wow.
And Chase remembers this. So you know he's going to have the bit between his teeth here. But I feel like that Dallas is playing well enough on run defense to deal with Cincinnati if they try and run this football, which I don't think they can. I really don't. And I don't see a running quarterback here. And the one thing that Burrow will do is when he takes sacks, it's that he'll pull the ball down. And you'll see him try and climb up in the pocket, and maybe he should make a throw, and he'll pull it down, and he'll get sacked. But his line can't hold up. Not against this group, he can't. So,
what if I said, man, if you tell me Trayvon Diggs plays, I'm going to pick the Cowboys Monday afternoon?
The problem with picking the Cowboys is that can you get anything out of your offense? And Cincinnati's defense, just looking at metrics, not looking at the tape, which I'll do tonight, they're near the bottom in every statistical category you can imagine. So can Dallas manufacture enough offense? I think Dallas, with the way they currently are right now, I think that they could play well against these guys on the Cincinnati's defense. Cincinnati can, as I said, can move the football. They've got very talented Jamar Chase down the field. He's got 5 touchdown passes. I mean, bomb touchdown passes. You know, Joe Burrow's thrown 30 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. Yeah, it looks like a daunting task, but I kind of feel like this plays to Dallas's strength with their ability to get after the passer and Mike Zimmer's ability to kind of dial some things up here. So it's going to come down to your offense. Can your offense generate anything in this football game? If it can, there's your path.
Yeah.
There's your path, because the Bengals are going to struggle to block you, I think, with what I've seen, what I've watched through their games this year.
Yeah, I mean, and when they have T. Higgins, the passing game really becomes lethal for them.
Yeah.
He's been in and out, but he's back, and he's rocking. Him and Chase together, it would be huge, because I don't know what the Cowboys would do if they don't have Diggs.
With Diggs practicing today or through the mock game walkthrough, I think that's a really good sign, because when he wasn't going even through like parts of practice, you had a feeling that he wasn't going to play. I have a feeling you're going to go into this game with Diggs, Bland, and Lewis all playing. Good. Together with Micah and Overshown. We talked about with Overshown and what, you know, we've kind of talked this into existence. Hey, poor man's Micah Parson. Let's rush. They need to do that in this game.
Yeah. Look at middle class. Looking more middle class than poor man's, you know. Yeah. He's closer.
I respect what Cincinnati's doing offensively, but I think they're masking a lot of things. With this quarterback's masking the problems they have on their offensive line.
Do you see anything on why they haven't been able to close these one-score games? They're 0-6.
Their defense, I guess. I mean,
And they've missed a bunch of field goals, too.
Yeah, they put their kicker on injured reserve.
Yeah, McPherson.
Yeah, they've got a new kicker this week. So they've struggled with that. But when you start to talk about, you know, giving up big plays and things like that, I'm looking forward to seeing how bad their defense really, really is. Because that's the thing I think that's holding them back from winning these games.
Yeah.
Do you believe the Bengals will make another Super Bowl run with Joe Burrow? It just seems like they're good like once every 12 years for a brief window. Andy Dalton had his run. Before that, I don't know if I remember their
Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer had a year, against the Steelers in the playoffs. Yeah. Yeah.
Marvin Lewis had a run there where they were getting in the playoffs quite a bit.
They just could never win a playoff game. But it's tough. It's tough to once you've paid your quarterback, especially for a franchise like that, they don't even want to pay Jamar Chase. And that number just keeps going up. That's going to get contentious probably in the offseason for them. But Joe Burrow seems like he's playing the best football of his career. I mean, the numbers reflect that.
Yeah, they've got the quarterback figured out.
He's a monster.
It's a shame that the offensive line can't get it together. I mean, Orlando Brown's a guy that they brought in from the Chiefs. They've tried.
I watched him hurt his knee in the game. You know, I mean, that's your chance. That's your chance. It actually, don't worry. I would not worry about them running the football.
Well, that's exciting. Are you guys like me where you've retreated a bit from the team tank idea for now? Like, let's just put that on ice and see if we can, you know, make a historic run or do the unthinkable, have a multi-takeaway game against Joe Burrow, win that one, win against Carolina. I want excitement more than I'm thinking about, because now that you have 5 wins, you know, you're not going to have a top 5 pick. The best you could hope for now would be 7th or 8th. You with me on that at all?
Yeah, I get what you're saying for sure. And I love to see the defense, and especially guys that you're building around, you know, seeing Overshown doing what he's doing, seeing Mozzie take steps in the right mm-hmm. direction. Having those type of guys play well is awesome. And even for the offense, where you have some offensive linemen now that you're feeling like maybe they're not backups with Hoffman and with Bass and stuff like that. So I like seeing those improvements, but I still know that this is a dead end season, and Cooper Rush is, I mean, he's
that's what made me start looking at the draft on November 9th when Cooper Rush became the quarterback. You know,
there's nothing really good that comes from this. I love the highlight moments from these dudes.
Their defense is finding a way. Defense and special teams.
Yeah.
That's how they're scoring points. You know, defense, special teams, and a really, really good kicker.
Ball security, like Cooper maybe is taking a little bit better care of it.
I look at this way. They pick Zach Martin at 13, right? Pick CeeDee Lamb at 17. Some of their best players picked Micah Parsons.
Van Der Esch was at 18. Unfortunately, his career ended.
I'm just saying, like, the guys, like, Micah Parsons, what, 12?
Yeah, 11 they traded, or 12? They traded back to get him at 12.
Yeah. So, to me, when they've just taken the best player on their board, and whether they're picking, I think it at 5 or 6, they would probably force that thing. I think at 12, 13, 14.
That's their sweet spot.
I think that's where they draft their best. I think that's where they do not, you know, they forced a running back on you in the 4th overall pick, right?
Yeah.
2016.
And they forced up and moved from O'Claiborne. At like 7 or 6, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, their best pick in the top 10 of the last 15 years was Tyron at 9.
Yeah.
Right.
I kind of feel like, to me, that if you let them pick 13, 14, 15, right around there.
Yeah, that would be great.
They'll pick their board.
As long as we're in the top 18 or wherever Brian says the first round really ends here, yeah. It's usually somewhere between like 18 and 22.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah. As long as we're ahead of that curve, then I'll be overall satisfied at 877-881-1053. Fantex, let's have it. What else do you need to see from this Mavs? MFFLs, I know you've been waiting for the ramp up after a final season to talk Mavs, to get excited. I'm in with you. I'm picking them to win the championship right now. What else do you need to see? Players you would trade lively for. That's next in the G-Bag Nation.